بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله، الحمد لله رب العالمين، الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا وحبيبنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. In the name of Allah, the most gracious, the most merciful, all praise is due to Allah. We thank Him, we praise Him, we thank Him for His guidance, and we are grateful that we are only guided by the will of Allah. And we thank Him and we praise Him, and we ask Him to shower His blessings on our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and upon his family and his companions, and upon all of those who follow them with righteousness until the last day. Alhamdulillah is usually the start of most khutbahs, not by chance, but because Alhamdulillah and praising Allah is a cornerstone of our faith. We know that the first verse of the Quran, the opening chapter after Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, is Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has reminded us by prescribing the prayer upon us and asking us to say Alhamdulillah at least for every rak'ah, for the five prayers a day. In a way, he's creating a habit. He's creating a habit for us to be thankful and to be grateful and to think about the meaning of that word, Alhamdulillah. And I chose this topic today because many of those around us and many of ourselves celebrated a holiday of gratitude, which is Thanksgiving. And while Thanksgiving isn't per se a Muslim holiday, it's also not a Christian holiday or a Jewish holiday. It's a recognition of a fundamental cornerstone of Islam and really of all the faiths. All of the Abrahamic faiths share this common concept of gratitude and being thankful, and being thankful to our Maker, and being thankful to each other. And this notion of being thankful is something that we as Muslims embrace as part of our deen. And whether or not you choose to celebrate the tradition, I know many of us do. Many of us gather with our families. We remember what we are grateful for. And in that, there is a barakah. If your intention is to get together and to be thankful and to remember the blessings of Allah, in that is a reminder, and it's a benefit to all of us. The Quran and the wisdom of the Prophet through prayer is a way for establishing certain habits for us, habits to make us better human beings, spiritual habits. And the prayer is not just a way of ibadah, of worship, but it's also a form of spiritual development. The same way that we all go through professional development and we do courses to help ourselves in our professional lives, the prayer should be a form of spiritual development to bring us closer to Allah. And people have studied, you know, what makes good habits and bad habits. And the consensus is that if you can continue something for a 30-day period, then you can establish a good habit. And gratitude is one of those good habits. The idea of being grateful, we have to remember, it's not just about saying Alhamdulillah, but it's about thinking about what we're being thankful for. Because when you say Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, you're saying all praise is due to Allah, which is a blanket statement by itself, which is true. But Allah has given us so much unique individual blessings that it becomes difficult sometimes to remember them. But it's important for us to remember them, and it's important for us not to take them for granted. And really, I think that's my focus today, is to get to the heart of gratitude. It's to remember not to take the things that Allah has given us for granted. And to really be grateful is more than just saying Alhamdulillah, but it's remembering those individual things that we often take for granted. And it could be cumbersome. If you were going to remember all the things and say Alhamdulillah for the oxygen that we breathe that gives us life, and Alhamdulillah for the water that we drink that gives us sustenance, and Alhamdulillah for the night that Allah has provided for us to sleep, and for the sun that gives us light during the waking hours, we would perpetually be walking around in a state of gratitude and saying Alhamdulillah for everything. And while that's not expected of us, it is expected that we do remember when we remember, and we connect the blessings to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's also important to remember that Allah doesn't ask us to praise Him for His own sake. In fact, He does not need our blessings, and He does not need our praise, and He does not need our dua, and He does not need our prayer. And we're reminded in the Holy Quran, in Surah Al-Fatir, Surah 35, verse 15, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ أَنْتُمُ الْفُقَرَاءُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ هُوَ الْغَنِيُّ الْحَمِيدُ. In this verse, Allah addresses all of mankind. O mankind, you are in need of Allah. God needs nothing, and He is worthy of all praise. And this is repeated in other parts of the Quran, also in Surah Ibrahim, verse number 8, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
وَقَالَ مُوسَى تَكْفُرُوا أَنْتُمْ وَمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَغَنِيٌّ حَمِيدٌ.
And Moses said, if you should disbelieve, you and all of those on earth, indeed Allah is free of need and praiseworthy. So if Allah doesn't need our praise, and He doesn't need our thanks, and He doesn't need our gratitude, why do we praise Him? Why is it expected that we praise Allah if Allah is beyond our needs, whether it's praise or prayer? And when you think about this, praising Allah, like many of the things that were prescribed upon us, they are not for Allah. Allah does not need them, they are for ourselves. It's the same with any parts of worship, whether it's prayer or whether it's reading the Quran. Whether or not we pray, Allah's not losing any sleep. If somebody misses Maghrib and decides to go watch TV or go to the movies or play a video game, Allah's is not gonna be harmed by that. It's more that Allah's giving us a gift, and He's giving us an opportunity for spiritual development. And part of that spiritual development is the gratitude. And I'm reminded that it's not just spiritual development. There is those who've studied the mind and who've studied psychology who will tell you that being grateful is in fact a remedy for much of the anxieties that are prominent in today's society. Being grateful relieves anxiety, it relieves envy, it relieves regret, and essentially it serves as a natural mood enhancement by making us focus on the positive, by making us focus on what we have. And it's this idea that there are people among us who see a glass half full, there are people among us who see a glass half empty, and those who have a positive outlook, who see the glass half full, tend to have a better mental outlook, they tend to have a better demeanor, they tend to be more positive. And when you're saying Alhamdulillah and you're remembering what you have, that puts you in that glass half full mentality. You're thinking of what you have, you're not thinking of what you don't have. And I would venture to guess that we are currently living in a time and place that is arguably the most materialistic of all times and places in the history of this dunya, in terms of how much we consume and how much we throw away and how much of our lives are consumed by buying and purchasing and clothes and cars and phones and things that we may not necessarily need, but we want. And it becomes very easy, even though you have so much, to become very negative and focus on what you don't have and fall into this anxiety. And there's people, you know, whose plates are full and they're very wealthy, but they look down the way and they see something that they don't have, and they become very dark and sad and envious. And this has an effect on our minds. This has an effect on our mental well-being. And just to be clear, understating the reality of mental illness and mental health. Mental health is a serious problem, and for some people it does require medical and pharmacological attention. But for others, it's just a frame of mind, and people fall into the negativity because they forget what they have. And they focus on what they don't have, and they focus on what other people have. And again, this idea of gratitude and being thankful to Allah and remembering Alhamdulillah and saying that often with sincerity by remembering what you have, that itself is a remedy for much of that darkness and negativity. This is one of the reasons why Allah expects us to praise Him. Not because He needs the praise, but because we need to remember to be thankful and to praise Allah so that we focus on what we have instead of what we don't. Additionally, being grateful and being thankful is a remedy for anxiety because you're not thinking about the future. Anxiety, by definition, is when somebody is worried about what's going to happen next, what's going to happen tomorrow. You know, am I going to pass this exam? Am I going to get this job? You know, is there going to be traffic on the 101? Am I going to get to where I'm going on time? And you become anxious and you become stressed. When you're living in the present and you say Alhamdulillah and you're thinking about what you have right now, by default, you're not thinking about what's going to happen in 10 minutes because you're living in the present. And living in the present and being thankful for what you have in the moment by itself trains your mind to relieve the anxiety because you're not stressed about what you don't have yet or what you don't know or what's in Allah's control. You're focusing on what you do have and what you were given, and you're being grateful for the here and the now. Similarly, being grateful and saying Alhamdulillah also relieves the regret of the past. Many of us have regrets of things that could have been differently or things that they could have done differently or things that they believe should have happened differently. And again, if you let your mind wander into the past and lose yourself in regret, then again, you can go to a dark place and your mind can wander and lead you to a path of depression. If you focus on the present and you think of what you have right now, regardless of what decisions could have been made, and you say, Alhamdulillah for what I have right now, maybe I could have gotten more money if I took that other job, but I have to focus on being grateful for the money that I have and for the health that I have and what I have right now to put our minds at ease. أَفَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ. Allah reminds us in the Holy Quran, is it not for the remembrance of Allah that the heart finds peace? And again, this peace is found by living in the now, by focusing on what we have and where we are in the immediate here and now. And again, this is what we've been ordered to do in the Quran. This is the path of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we're reminded of a hadith that was compiled by Tirmidhi, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam reminded us that whoever wakes up secure in his property and healthy in his body with food for the day, it is as if he was granted the entire dunya. It was as if he was granted the entire world. And again, this is a perfect example of our entire world is focused on today. Being granted the whole dunya means that you're healthy, it means that you're safe, it means that you have enough sustenance for today. And that is someone who has been granted the entire dunya. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. None of us know what's going to happen tomorrow. You can lose your mind thinking about what may or may not happen, instead of focusing on the fact that Allah has given us all the dunya in our hands today by us being here and giving us the health to be able to be here and to breathe and to walk on our two feet and to have the safety and security to know that we're among our brothers and sisters and that we have the sustenance that will make us survive for the rest of the day. The dunya is within our hands as narrated by the Prophet alayhi salam. And despite that, many of us, myself included, will forget that and focus on the anxiety of, okay, what's going to happen next? What am I going to do for work? What meetings do I have next? And it's healthy to plan ahead, and it's important that we have plans, but we can't lose focus of the barakah and the ni'mah that we have today by thinking about what may or may not be tomorrow. Part of this idea of releasing the stress and thinking about what you have is really just focusing and embracing the things that are around us that we often take for granted. I think one of the ways that you could relieve this anxiety is if you have children, is just remember to go and hug your children. And while that may seem out of the ordinary for your children, for you to just come home and walk up to them and hug them for no reason, it is a source of gratitude. It is a source of recognizing the bounty that Allah gave you and focusing you on the here and now and taking you out of that stress. Another way to take out that stress and anxiety is to be affectionate to your spouse, to kiss your spouse, to hug them. And again, this is following the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. We know that he was affectionate with his family. We know that he was affectionate with his wives. And again, that's a way to focus you on the here and now and to be present with your family and with your loved ones and to alleviate some of the stress and some of the unknown. It's about when you're eating and drinking your lunch or your breakfast or your dinner today, it's about consuming that food slowly and enjoying the blessing rather than making it a chore of, okay, I'm just going to hurry up and swallow my food so I can get in the car and go to my next meeting. It's being present in that moment and saying Alhamdulillah as you eat and Bismillah before you eat. It's about a practice that many people around us do better than some of us as Muslims, which is the practice of slow breathing. There's yoga studios all over the city that teach people to breathe slowly and think about your breathing and appreciate the breath that has been provided by the Creator. And it's a way of slowing down and being present and thinking and saying Alhamdulillah and recognizing that this oxygen that sustains us is from our Creator, and that when we sit there and think and are present about it, it relieves the stress and anxiety that many people pay a lot of money to go and relieve by going to have a yogi tell them, hey, just breathe. Just breathe and relax, slow down and breathe. And again, this is part of our fitrah, this is part of our deen. Stopping 5 times a day and, you know, taking the time to breathe slowly and to pray and to recite those verses will do more for your mind and your mental well-being than any yoga sessions that you could do for infinity. And lastly, just remembering Allah as we look around us, the miracles around us on a daily basis, whether it's nighttime and you could look in the sky and you could see the stars and the moon, or whether it's daytime and you see birds flying and trees growing and you see the rain that Allah has blessed us with that falls on the ground that was once dry and dead and suddenly there's green that's coming up out of the ground. We take those things for granted and we forget about them because they're such a part of our daily lives. But subhanAllah, this is not something that any of us could do. And it's not something that science could create, something where you could pour water on the floor or on the ground and suddenly plants and fruits come up from the ground. All of these things that we see around us, it's important to just take a break and pause and remember and say Alhamdulillah so that we are thankful and so that Allah relieves us of the stress and anxiety of this dunya and reminds us to live in the here and now. Aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum. Please ask Allah for forgiveness on this Friday. May He forgive us and guide us inshallah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala rasulullah. In the second part of the khutbah, I want to talk about something that is a variation of this idea of gratitude, which is what it means to be gracious. And I think the best example of what it means to be gracious is our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And more specifically, I want to talk about being gracious hosts, especially in the house of Allah. And I'm glad today that we have a number of guests outside, so this could directly apply, and hopefully we all are and represent the example of the Prophet and our gracious hosts to our guests. But the reason I'm reminded about this is because I was made aware of, recently we had a Christian woman who came to visit the masjid for the first time, and she told some of the community that she left because she had a bad experience. Because she was confronted about the way she was dressed and whether or not her hair was covered properly, and she left. And I would like to use this as a lesson and a reminder of how we practice kindness and graciousness to our guests. And the example of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is that in the beginning he was met with a lot of animosity. And we know that the early Muslims were persecuted, and there was but a handful of those believers that carried the message and had to spread the message. And the way they carried themselves always, especially specifically the Prophet ﷺ, was whether somebody came to him aggressively or with anger or with frustration or with insults, is he always responded to them with love and kindness. And again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose the Prophet in his infinite wisdom because he knows the character of the Prophet. And that character of the Prophet was that whenever somebody would come to him aggressively, he would become softer and he would become kinder. Because he understood something about human nature that very few human beings understand today. And what he understood is, when you reciprocate anger, you're definitely going to get anger in response. When somebody comes to you and they're in a bad mood, and you do anything but try to calm them with kindness, they're going to get more angry. And while this is a simple concept, and any sociology student or teacher can tell you that this is a 101 basic of how to interact with a human being, we as humans have lost some of that patience. And we have lost our ability to see that example of our Prophet, and all of the Prophets really, and the way that they interacted with one another, and the way that they dealt with animosity or disagreement. They are our example. When we see somebody that we disagree with, the way to get to their heart is not by outwardly disagreeing with them and telling them they're wrong, or saying, you should not do that, that's not the right way. That's not going to turn somebody's heart towards you. When somebody comes to our masjid as a guest, we have to remember that this masjid is not our house. This is not our house, this is the house of Allah. And when somebody comes to the house of Allah and they are turned away because of us, we have done a great disservice. When somebody comes to the house of Allah and they leave and feeling bad or feeling turned away, then we need to turn inwards and reflect on how we can't do that again. And when we see that in the masjid, not everybody is that way. And this lecture, I'm calling it a lecture, but this lecture is not directed to everybody because I know that's not the case for all of us. But when we see that, because it does happen, we should step in and say, look, brother, you need to be more welcoming to our guests. And we need to find a way to bring them back and to reach their hearts, because our example of the Prophet is to reach the hearts of people, whether or not they are believers, because all of those around our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one day they were not believers. They all worshipped idols, and it was with great reluctance that they left their deen and came to the deen of Islam, and it was only because the Prophet was able to reach their hearts, not because he convinced them with logic, not because he told them about science, not because he explained to them the miracles of the Quran. It's because he connected with them as a human being, heart to heart, and they embraced Islam because they believed him, and they believed in him, and they trusted him. And that's who we are as Muslims. We are the representatives of our great beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we have to remember to act in that regard. We have to remind ourselves to invite people lovingly to this deen, and that any new believer who comes here, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has guided them, remember, you know, everyone who is a new believer was once a not believer. And they may one day be the sincerest of believers, and they may be the greatest champions of this deen, and they may do more for this faith than any of us have ever done. And I think about some of our greatest scholars who we go and listen to lectures, whether it's Hamza Yusuf or whether it's, the names escape me, but there's so many of our great leaders and scholars who were once not Muslims. And we have to recognize, you know, when people come to this masjid, don't underestimate who they are. They all have the same potential to be better than we are. And it's not our place to ever turn them away. We invite anybody to this house of Allah with love and compassion in order that we may reach their hearts and in order that they may, you know, be comrades with us and not have animosity. And I just remind us, please don't ever be the reason that anybody leaves this masjid unhappy. Remind ourselves and our brothers that if you see that, you know, do what you can to mend any wrong, because again, this is not our house, this is the house of Allah. أَقُولُ قَوْلَ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ. Please ask Allah for forgiveness. We ask Allah to guide us and to make us true examples of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We ask Allah to be the reason that people come to Islam and connect with our hearts, not to run from our deen with animosity. We ask Allah to please give us kindness and compassion with our families and strangers alike. We ask Allah to guide us along the straight path and to grant us Jannah. وَأَخِرَ دَعْوَانَا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ وَأَقِمُ الصَّلَاةِ.